All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, okay, here we are at Seattle's famous MoPop, the Museum of Pop Culture.
Oh, fun. Is it actually good? Is it good?
It's good for, you know, it's cool. It's good.
Okay.
We're in the worst part of it, though.
Oh.
There's a cool section downstairs with a bunch of horror movie plot props. You know, that's all cool. A lot of neat stuff. They do rotating exhibits. It's neat. Mm-hmm. But we're in the rock and roll part of it. And this is the kind of room where they just show a guitar, and it's like a room if it was that guy in Breaking Bad who's like, do you like it? It's one of Clapton's. That is the selling point for most of the things in this room.
Oh.
Like, do you like it? Lane Staley from Alice in Chains played it.
So is he playing it right now?
From heaven? No. From hell, okay. Or from purgatory?
Yeah.
From grunge purgatory? But I was thinking about how they have these rotating exhibits. This one is in partner with the music. It is from the Hall of Fame of licensed songs and video games.
Oh, okay.
They've got this exhibit where it's all the guitars used on any of those. Okay. And I just want you to reach into this gigantic basket of guitars and pick out a guitar. It's probably like 30 feet by 30 feet, maybe 30 feet deep. Mm-hmm. Scrooge McDuck into this thing of guitars and pull one out. And we'll see what game it was used on.
Oh, okay. This is going to hurt. Like the strings are basically wires. They're sticking out of the, you're basically doing Saw 2 to me.
It's ironic because you play the guitar.
Oh, this is true. All right. So I'm going to try and carefully. Oh, fuck. I fell in.
Yeah.
All right. You're
just on top of it, but you have to dig deep. I don't want to get any of those like jock going to the
top.
They're
all tangled.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, I've got one. I'm just gonna yank it up here and
okay. This was the guitar that the samples for Rock and Roll Racing were used from.
Okay, yeah, that game's good.
This is making somebody happy.
Yeah.
My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, where we find Torque, he stumbled his way into the wrong kind of suffering.
And this week we are talking about Rock and Roll Racing, the SNES version here. We have, this was put into the suggestion machine by Lance, who says, this was one of my favorite games as a kid. It's an isometric combat racing game that has SNES versions of classic rock songs. I'm pretty sure my judgments as a child, were flawed, and it's actually a terrible game. Would love to hear you guys experience it.
Your wish is our command.
Yeah.
We will.
This is not a terrible game.
It's not. This is one of the most loved things we've done for the show. My take on this is you have to get, if you can handle isometric racing games, I'm sure this is good.
Yeah.
I never cracked that nut and it is too zoomed in for me. Like generally
it's too zoomed in. I think that like, my skills, yeah, I love the, that RC or the pro, like, what is it?
RC Pro-Am,
whatever it is. The racing game with the three wheels that's top down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I always lose what that is, what that's called. Oh, I think a little bit.
That one's top down. That one's different than RC Pro-Am. RC Pro-Am is the one that looks like this on the NES.
Oh, okay.
That's the game that's most close to this. You're talking. Yeah, I know what you're talking.
I'm talking about like super off road racing or whatever.
Yeah. And that's a little bit different. This is isometric and super zoomed in instead of seeing the entire track.
Yeah. Like to anticipate what's coming up, you have to look at the little mini map. That's going. This controls just fine for being an isometric game.
Controls pretty well.
Yeah,
like it feels responsive and good.
I just kind of found it to be a little, I played on regular difficulty, just found it to be a little bit boring and easy was the main thing. You have to do a ton of races to even afford a single upgrade, which is a bummer.
Yeah, it's got slow RPG kind of appeal. I have a hard time with isometric racing games. The most that I've ever played one is Rally King, the one that's in Retro Game Challenge.
Oh yeah.
This doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Having my position flip. constantly and changing which way left and right is. Like, it's hard for me to envision myself in the seat of the car when I'm at an isometric angle.
The courses are too big and there are too few other racers. I think there's only four at a time.
Yeah. This is, and you have to kill them as well. This is combat racing, is the gimmick, with weird covers, SNES music covers of classic rock songs that they can get on the cheap.
Six of them
that you're just going to hear. They are pretty fun. They're pretty funny.
Yes.
The Bad to the Bone one is very funny.
I was looking forward to this because at the very least we can fall back to talking about music.
Then we find out there's actually a bunch of lore in this.
Yeah.
And there's a roster rundown. I also, one of the things I found in this, so excuse me, this is, you know, a lot of people, this is still people's favorite game. Like, there are people who love this, you know, look on Game Facts, tens, lots of tens. It doesn't work for me. But one of the things that I liked in looking up stuff around it was seeing the Wikipedia page, because sometimes when you have something that is a cult favorite like this, like in this job, we look at a lot of Wikipedias.
We do.
You know, just generally, like, that used to be frowned upon. Now everyone does it. It's fine. It's better than AI shit you're going to find through Googling. Did you look at the entry on the Wikipedia for this for passwords?
No.
It's real strange. Not strange like, oh, they, you know, he divorces his wife in it. It's not that, like, you know, miracle strange, but I've never seen anything like it on Wikipedia.
Yeah, this is it's got citations and everything. This is really exhaustive.
It tells you about how the characters are used, what, you know, what they signify, the characters and the password. They say how much money you can save, how much money a password will save, and gives many examples. Tells you how to cheat. You can enter the same password for both players, and they're in different parts of the game, so one can catch up. The one in the lowest difficulty setting will be the basis, so allows the warrior skill character with a maxed out vehicle to race against a rookie class AIs. So it has a cheat code in it. It talks about a password generator in QBasic. there's a password generator for Rock and Roll Racing. It creates passwords that are often glitchy. You know, so you race on glitchy planets. These exist as a bug and can crash the game after racing on Inferno. But they work on rookie mode. So you can get this QBasic program, if you know what QBasic is, to generate new codes for Rock and Roll Racing for SNES. One of the basic things you need to know in an encyclopedia entry about this game.
Yes. Walking away from this, because everybody talks about, it's kind of taken for granted how they refine that into a JavaScript password generator that eliminates the glitchy planets. So you can actually play the game.
They made another one in JavaScript. So there's QBasic, there's JavaScript. So we get the development of this password maker. Yes. Woof.
This is you know what it is? This is a Blizzard game. This is when they were Silicon and Synapse. It is a sequel to a previous game of theirs, but it's from the Lost Vikings era.
Back when they could kind of do things that were not, you know, literally just Warcraft. They also this is literally based on the RC Pro-Am kind of racing engine. So it's based on an NES game. That's kind of why it feels that way.
And that's probably why there's so few things on screen at a given time, and maybe why it has to be so zoomed in. I didn't play long enough to get the cool upgrades and stuff. You have a plasma blaster that can shoot two shots and then you're out of ammo.
I didn't play that long. I was bad at it. I'm not good at isometric racing games. There's so much lore in this.
First off, I need to get into the options. If you go into the options, very few of them, but one of them is just Larry on or off.
That's the announcer.
But out of context, just having Larry toggle.
I love a Larry toggle. I love out of context shit like that. My depression has reached a level where I'm playing a Pokemon game in my lifetime now.
Jesus, Gary.
I am not doing great. But there's when you decide not to take someone in your team, you'll just get the message that's Snarfy went to the box, which I really like as just a vague, don't be like Snarfy. In the manual for this, we get one paragraph that talks about the history of racing. The next paragraph starts, when mankind discovered intelligent life on Bogmire in the year 2833.
The first automobile race, some stuff happened, 2833.
Yeah. From 1894 to 2893.
The Saurians on Bogmire.
Yeah, rules. Now we're dealing with the Saurians of Bogmire.
Yeah.
Who had the innovation after that many years to have souped up cars and classic rock and roll music from the planet Earth.
I just love the idea of this kind of cultural cross-pollination that happens. Mm-hmm. Humanity brought them two things, hot rods and rock and roll.
And just like found an Ed Hardy shirt and just kind of, materialized it.
Yeah.
Manifested it through the chaos engine.
It's so beautiful that first contact resulted in a wave of rockabilly dudes.
Yeah, it's like the neutrinos from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So we learn a little bit about the history of it. It's the most watched sport in the universe. Mm-hmm. 7.8 billion people from 17 planets tune in. That doesn't seem like actually that much of a watched sport in the universe.
Yeah, no, it's a big universe.
Yeah, pretty big universe. And then we get how to play with all of our stats with our rundown in the kind of side panels of our different racers.
With the lovingly rendered, colored pencil drawings of these different racers.
Like sincerely lovingly rendered.
Mm-hmm. And there's not really any entertaining information in this.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's just they're idiots.
Yeah.
They're various dopes. We do get some freaks. We start off with some humans, but then we start getting androids, Grindr X9, who looks like a predator and alien mixed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good call. You get not Chewbacca. It's not Chewbacca, guys. Don't put in the paper. It was Chewbacca.
it's Ivan Cypher. Yeah.
Nope.
And then Ragewort, who I like quite a bit. And Roadhill Heli, I like quite a bit. I think it's a human, but with a cybernetic mask.
She has been canified, is what it looks like. He has vowed not to let any rock and roll driver leave the new Mojave alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you scroll down far enough to get to Tarquin, who is just a straight up fucking elf?
Yep.
Yeah, there's just an elf as well.
Yeah, we got elves. It's fine.
And then Rip and Shred, who are identical twins who will always be your NPC drivers if you play two-player.
Yes.
And that's a big reason why people love this game, because you can play with other people.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's split screen or not.
I think you're on the same screen.
Oh.
That's how it worked in RC Pro-Am.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unsatisfying.
Yeah, it'd be very difficult, I think.
Yeah.
Based on how hard it already is to see what you're doing in this. Mm-hmm. There's obviously quality and love here, but yeah, it does not.
You have to be down. You have to be down for what it for what it is. Is the thing. I don't have the rejects isometric racing out of hand. For some reason, it makes sense to me. So I was just playing this and I was like, oh yeah, this is good. I had never run across it, to play it back in the day. I don't know. I'm not going to sit down on my own volition and play something called Rock and Roll Racing.
No, for all the world before we did this, I thought this was, I got confused with the Mode 7.
Yeah.
Racer. The Star Fox looking racer.
Yeah.
That's really slow. That is an intense slowdown.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently this is very similar to the Biker Mice from Mars racer as well.
Huh.
So, no. Yeah. This is a tiny little sequel bit, a little follow-up to Last Abject Suffering.
Okay.
I went and got my mouth guard.
All right.
Yesterday. I did get a little version of my teeth. They 3D printed my teeth. And they are recognizably my teeth. And they fit together perfectly. Very satisfying.
You could pick it up out of a laptop.
Yes.
Or not out of a laptop, out of a lineup.
Yeah. Like they look like my teeth.
Huh.
And I have them and it's fun. It's a top half and a bottom half. They just rest perfectly on each other because that's how teeths work. It's great. My dentist was like, we made this thing to do this thing and we're not going to keep it.
we find that our customers enjoy having these.
Yeah, we're going to throw this away because we don't need just a second copy of your teeth. That's weird.
Yeah.
Do you want it? And I just straight up, hell yes.
Yeah.
Give me a hell yup.
Like you knew it was a thing that happens, in my story, like 30 years ago.
It was the mole. Yeah. Like it was the negative, which would also be cool, but mm-hmm. I've got the positive of the teeth.
Yeah.
Because now because of 3D printing.
The negative goes on your teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I just have the mouth guard, which is weird, but hopefully will help.
Yeah. So like, is there anything about them like that has been revealed to you? Because you don't see inside your own mouth. Like,
no, yeah, you don't. I saw the big 3D model of it mm-hmm. that just revealed it and just looked gnarly. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't look good. Like, I don't have the whitest teeth in the world mm-hmm. or anything. So it just looked rough here. Now with the 3D model, it's all kind of one color of plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't give me that much detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, have I talked about my dentist before?
I don't believe you have.
I don't want to dox him because mm-hmm. I like him a lot.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to ruin that.
Yeah, he's real good. He is a very, very charismatic weirdo.
Okay.
Who constantly is keeping up a running commentary all the time.
Okay.
Like imagine, somebody just explaining everything they do, mm-hmm. In exhausting detail. Like right now we're going to do this. And the reason we're going to do this is because it leads to this. And this, you'll see we do this for two reasons. One, talks in that cadence.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that is really so great. I really wish that my dentist did that.
You get to learn. Like he was Dremeling my mouth guard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is that a Dremel? And he's like, yes. Other patients, you can use a Dremel. We don't want you to do it yourself, but if you have to. And he kind of explained this crazy story where he took his dog in and his dog had stitches. And he was arguing at the vet about how he should be able to take the stitches out because he's a medical professional. Okay. And the vet's like, you're a medical professional. Like, would you want your patients taking out their stitches? And he's like, well, if they were trained medically, yes. I think that'd be great. and it's just, okay, man. Right. But the great thing about this guy is if you get him started talking about something, mm-hmm. he will talk about things that feel kind of personal. Like they're not anything more personal than like I share on this show, but he's a dentist.
Right. There's a level of
a little bit stranger.
I mean, he's got his fingers in your mouth while he's telling it. That does heighten things.
It makes it an erotic thrill ride.
You're paying him for it. You're paying him,
I'm paying him for his mouth. And I'm drugged. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm on nitrous. It's an erotic thrill ride. I'm learning about. So the first time this happened where I got weird, inside information, we had a dental assistant and he's like, I'm like, how are you doing? So you ask this guy, how are you doing? And you get a random cavalcade of topics. It's like an NPC in a video game where you say, tell me about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he says, oh, I'm really worried about this assistant. My last assistant, I really liked her. It took a really long time to get her, get her on board. We have a good compatibility. Unfortunately, she's taking some personal time off because of a family emergency, which I don't need to know.
That's
a weird thing to tell a patient. And I'm really worried about this new guy. I used to work in Vegas as a dentist, and they just cared more about making profits than actually helping people. And I couldn't handle that. So me and my longtime, I was married before I got divorced. Me and my longtime girlfriend moved up here. I returned here. I'm not sure about getting married. I feel like I'd already done it once. I want to make sure it's good if I do it the second time.
Jesus Christ.
Incredible stuff. And again, nitrous.
Uh-huh.
I'm high. and I'm just smiling and nodding like, hell yeah, man. I know how that is. Right on. Thank you for sharing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, doctor. Yeah. This time I was not on nitrous because it was just this fitting thing. I said, how you doing? And mm-hmm. he said, well, this might be a little personal, but my wife, he calls her wife. I think he got married because before the thing was, he wasn't sure if he wanted to get married. Mm-hmm. So advancements. He says, my wife has rheumatoid arthritis and has had it for 25 years. She gets really bad pain. This is a horrible thing. It can be, kind of gave me a basics on rheumatoid mm-hmm. arthritis.
Yeah, yeah.
Then said, she's taking, because of this, she's taking a new drug, but it's giving her night terrors.
Oh.
And like the detail is down to, he's like, so the last three nights, I've woken up with night terrors. She's woken up next to me screaming and mm-hmm. that makes it difficult. Last night she went and slept on the couch and predictably she screamed, on the couch. She knew it was going to happen.
Predictably she screamed. She screamed
and woke me up. We're just hoping it will take care of itself.
Okay.
And that was in response to how you doing to a dentist.
Like, sorry. I forgot where we started. It was such a ride.
Yeah. It's great. Uh-huh. It's really, really appealing to me. It's entertaining. And I kind of felt like he asked me what I did and I told him, which I don't always do, but I feel like one good turn deserves another. Like I was going to be like, I prefer not to discuss that.
Yeah.
Like I know everything about this guy. Uh-huh. And I talked about games, you know, talked about game podcasts and stuff. And he talked about tabletop games, how he used to play like GURPS and shit.
Okay. Oh, wow. And I, shit.
You know, yeah, he's a little bit older than me. He's like maybe 10 years older than me. Uh-huh. And I just had this moment of like, could I become friends with my dentist?
I don't know,
like,
man.
What an end for my character arc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to like show growth. Yeah. If I do that, I've graduated from life and there's really not any more stories you can tell with me.
Well, it's everybody's dream.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is everyone's dream to be, you want somebody in your life you can just, you're with friends, you can just be like, hey man, can you check this out?
Yeah.
But with how long I've spent pathologizing dentistry and hating and being scared of dentists.
You have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. I have a lot of work to do, but I'm getting there. Like, if I do that, what is the purpose of me anymore?
Yeah.
Like, that's the last boss of my life.
There's nothing left of you if your disdain for the field of dentistry goes away.
Not only goes away, but it completely reverses.
Yeah.
You know, this thing that I was scared of and hated, I am now friends with.
Uh-huh.
I'm retired from stories. I've had a character arc.
Huh.
You know?
Like, would you have to find something else to hate?
I don't know. It doesn't have to be hate, but I just have to have something I could change.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise your character doesn't change.
Uh-huh.
You know? No stories. I confronted my jellyfish thing. You know, a few years ago, I went and touched a baby jellyfish. Got over that. I don't love mm-hmm. them. You know, maybe the next thing would be eating a jellyfish.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But it felt very profound that I was like, I can see being friends with this dude.
Mm-hmm.
I am not immediately Pavlovianly repulsing at the very sight of him because I only associate him with pain and discomfort.
Huh.
I associate him with fun stories and being high as shit.
I thought I thought that this was a bit, but you're actually like, this is actually a hurdle that you've gotten over.
This is a hurdle I've gotten over. I'm not, the bit is that I'm not saying that I am going to retire from life. It's okay. Just a really nice, it's a story arc.
Yeah.
Like it
yeah.
feels like a legit story arc that I had.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was super hated dentist. I always hated dentist. I talked about that all the time on the show.
I know. I just, sorry, I guess I just got lost in the Gary the character versus Gary the person distinction.
Yeah, I guess that is true. But yeah, no, I you know, didn't go to the dentist until late in life because of my upbringing.
Uh-huh.
When I went, it was very traumatic. I've had a bunch of different traumatic dentist experiences.
Yeah.
Caused me not to go. I finally found a good dentist. This is great. But again, it just feels like such a change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go from dreading this thing to
I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Well, like, I mean, not, like one yeah. of your like one of your major breakthroughs was just learning that you could just pay to be high. Drugged. Yeah.
And them giving me enough drug for it to work.
Right.
People had done drug before and they'd been real ginger with it. You got to crank that shit.
Yeah.
I want to get holes in my brain. I need Michael Jackson levels of nitrous in my brain.
Yeah. You need to be on that Kanye level.
Yes. Yeah. I need a special space gas. Throw in some kratom.
I need the gas that makes me a Nazi.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. So So now because of nitrous, the miracle mm-hmm. drug, I might be friends with this dude at some point. I don't know how to broach that. I'm not necessarily in the market for new friends, but it would be fun to hang out with this dude and talk about old 70s tabletop role playing.
Yes.
And he would love to talk about it.
Sounds like he loves talking.
He does.
Huh. So it's hard to cultivate a friendship when you only see somebody once every 6 months.
With something in your mouth.
Yeah.
So I learned sign one-sided. Language.
Yeah.
Like I could do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, or I bring hieroglyphs.
Mm.
You know, I could do something.
Yeah, talk you like know, one of those Rebus things from Planescape.
Yeah, yeah, huh. Like a Dabus.
Uh-huh.
I can do a Dabus, Adam.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really one-sided because the only dentist story that I have, went into the woods and shot himself.
What did you say in between there? The only dentist story I have is went into the woods and shot himself.
I said trigger warning, I guess.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like no. Dr. Trey Horny. Like I didn't know what you were saying.
Dr. Trey Horny. That's good. I like that.
Dr. Trey Horny and his assistant Sex Edward.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He just and like the details about it are really just like the last time that he was seen was like at a gym. Somebody saw him take a phone call. and he kind of like, you know, it was obviously not good. Then he threw his phone in the trash and walked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think that has anything to do with your teeth?
I was feeling bad for sharing this kind of tragic story. Now I'm feeling bad that you've like implicated me, like imply that my dental hygiene has rendered me culpable. I'm kind of angry.
Question. Like, do you feel that way?
No, I do not. No.
Okay. Fair.
I do. So I had a long period where I didn't go to the dentist either. Went back. This is like my childhood dentist. So like I had been seeing this guy since I was like in my early teens, I think, you know? And yeah, went back and had to get a root canal. He fucked it up. I had to get the root canal redone. I think his head was on other stuff. This was really near the end.
Yeah. He's possibly pretty distracted.
Yeah.
I watched Brain Candy, the Kids in the Hall movie. I hadn't seen it in a long time. Holds up. That is a good movie. Don't let anyone tell you it's not.
Yeah.
There's a great bit where Kevin McDonald's character is remembering his dad suffering from depression.
Okay.
And his dad comes home from work. He's like, "Hey, Billy. Yeah, good day of school today." He goes, "Yeah." He's like, did you clean up the house for me?" He goes, "Yeah." He's like, "How about Daddy's gun? You clean up Daddy's gun?" Okay. And he just walks in and you just hear a gunshot. And it's like really bleak.
I forgot. You clean up Daddy's
gun. It's like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad for your dentist.
So yeah, absolutely. I mean his family, he had like college age kids but still like had a, like a daughter. It was it was really fucked up. I am angry that he possibly didn't have his eye on the prize, did fuck up my root canal, and I had to pay to have it redone.
Yeah, that should be free.
Yeah.
Yeah, his estate should pay for it.
I'm going to go after that daughter. She's graduated by now. Go after that
widow. Listen, there's a little bit of unfinished business.
Yeah.
Your husband and I had.
Yeah.
I don't need it anymore. I already had it done. But if you can do another one for free.
Yeah, no. Let's get going. I know. So it's not like restitution. It's not paying. I need to have this.
One to her.
I need to have this fucker like just bored out again. Third time.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to do a bad root canal on you. Set tight. It's eye for an eye.
Uh-huh.
It's the dentistry of Hammurabi.
So I don't know. Went to a nature trail and did it. Fucked up.
Sad.
Very sad.
What is the professional you're the least comfortable with? Medical or otherwise?
Profession that I am the least comfortable with.
Like professional you are the least comfortable interacting with, not just like profession that exists.
Yeah.
You're like ICE agent. Like, I mean, like, you know, people you actually have to interface with in your life.
Yeah. Ah, man. I don't have an answer off the top of my head. I do have a very kind of like anxiety producing situation that I was in this past weekend. Mm-hmm. So I am, you know, lightening my load to get ready to move. Right. Mm-hmm. And part of that, has been selling stuff. And I went through all of my games and, you know, pulled out stuff that was like, okay, this has no sentimental value to me. And I have other copies of this. Like, it's just a bunch of shit that I have like on Steam or like, oh, this is emulatable. Right. This is fine. You know, just, right. I don't need a copy of Escape from Monkey Island. It's fine.
Yeah.
So I put together, you know, a good amount of games. I think I traded in like, or sold 50 games. Mm. At a place like an independent game store that's in the Dead Mall where I used to work. Mm-hmm. Went in and I made things as easy on them as I could. And I was ready for like, okay, here's what we can offer you. The guy who owned the place turned around and instead of telling me like, yeah, this is what our system says, he asked, "What are you expecting?"
Ooh, that's rough. That's a loaded question for that.
Yeah.
How do you think this was going to go?
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, not like this. Honestly, what I was expecting was for you to tell me.
You need to tell me a number because you're typing a little computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came to you to get number. Give number.
I'm not here to wheel and deal. I am in no way a bargainer. So like, I just kind of sputtered. I had no answer because like, I'm terrible with that. I want to pay sticker price, please. I want to be out of here as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
This does not need to be a game.
Yeah. So a professional in which you have to bargain.
Yeah. Like any of them, like fortunately, since I have been an adult, like buying a car has not been a bargaining thing, really. It's just been go in, just whatever. Like they're not going to give you a price break anyway. You just look for what's on special, get a leasing deal or whatever, and then you're out of there. But yeah, like in anything where it's just anything where it's like, I have the answer and I'm going to make you guess it.
Yeah.
And
turning it a little imp.
Yeah.
A little guessing game.
Yeah. And he did it like it was nothing. And like, you know, I asked like which of these is, you know, like the most valuable, and he pulled out a couple of them, like things that, you know, just like, oh, my collector's edition of Control. I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of a horror game. Horror games hold their value. Blah, blah, blah. So I just pulled that out. I pulled out the most valuable stuff. And I was like, I just, you know, I don't have an expectation. I don't know. There's like 50 of them. And then he told me, like, once I was uncomfortable, basically once I handed over all my chips and said, I have no expectation. Like, you could literally tell me anything and I would say, go for it. Yeah.
Fleece me, sir. Fleece me. I've been ever so bad. Fleece me.
Yeah, because like it's more important to me to, because like, fuck, am I gonna sell these? And I would get way less if I tried to sell them in a lot on Facebook.
Yeah, and you could sell them individually, but it's basically a part time job.
Yeah,
you know, to do them on eBay or whatever.
And who's gonna buy my like copy of Assassin's Creed 2? Nobody's looking for that. You can get a better version of it. It's like, I'm not gonna do it piecemeal. The important thing is the away. I need this away.
Getting it away. What did you end up saying? You said no expectations. And then did you feel like he gave you a good reasonable price?
I got a few hundred bucks out of it. Yeah. So like, cause it was a bunch of games and like, I don't know, a Commodore 64 mini Atari thing. I was just like, I just, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't need to cross state lines.
Yeah. And so I just said like, yeah, no, I kind of don't have an expectation. And then it was really awkward where like neither of us like, articulated anything close to words. Yeah. It was just like, well, and then I recounted them. Yeah. He was looking
the
at
finger
it.
Thing means the taxes.
Yeah. The finger thing means, that's exactly what it was. And he said, all right, the computer is telling me this number that is near to 100. I'll round it up to the 100.
Yeah. You're getting prices right. He's trying to have you guess the value without going over.
Yeah.
It's just some people, it's fucking wild. Some people like that.
Yeah.
Like there are people who enjoy just that kind of bargaining kind of thing. Like, and the people I've known in my life who do, they tend to not be about the thing. They're about getting a good deal. It reminds me of people who enjoy gambling. Like, you know, it's not about winning. It's the experience of gambling.
Yes.
They just like having gotten a good deal. It doesn't really matter what it is, but afterwards they just feel good because, hey, I got a good deal.
Yes. You know, I got one over. I won this encounter and I don't want it to be an encounter. I want it to be a transaction.
Yes.
Right.
I just want somebody who's going to be cool.
Chill. You know? Yeah. I don't know. Like, I didn't expect that I would have to do that. I would have to do research for it.
Yeah.
There's a very funny like bit in a Nathan For You episode where like part of the gag was they had to get somebody to change his name to Michael Richards.
Okay.
like the Seinfeld guy. And
I know him from the Laugh Factory, but like, figuring out what I know what you're doing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It came down to like a discussion of price, and of course they had to make this, you know, stretch it out because it's Nathan Fielder, and it's like, you know, like, oh, we were thinking like, you know, like $1,000, we'll give you $1,000 to do this. And the guy said, well, you never accept the first offer, you just, but so like, I just, can it be more? And then he just says, can it be, how about 1,001? He's like, yeah, okay, cool, I got you. As long as it was higher. It's just like that kind of.
Yeah. I like, can it be more?
I just said, I'm going to walk away. Like, I think he says something like, you know, I'll if I get even $1 more, I'll feel like I won this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird Mindo type. Like, I just, mm-hmm. It's hard for me to relate to.
Yeah. I just wanted to, get in, get out.
Yeah. Get it over with. Mm-hmm. What can people do if they like this show?
If people like the show, they can back us on Patreon at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And you get a whole bunch of bonus content. You get a whole bunch of just a ton of stuff to listen to. Bonus shows, bonus episodes, things like that.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it. It helps us keep doing shows. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help. It enables it at all.
Yeah, it's the nature of the thing. It allows it to happen. We tell you
a 1-to-1 ratio.
We tell you how much we expect. We don't make you haggle for it.
Yeah. We $5 will get you. We'll tell you exactly what you'll get.
Yes, that's our guarantee. Yeah. It's the duck feed guarantee.
Yes, man, introducing haggling to Patreon.
Oh fuck!
Incredible. Like, you get messages or like, how about $4.50? Fuck!
Oh geez, I better ask Gary. Yeah,
just like, all right, let's have a meeting, Gwen. You can also leave us ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, things like that. Mm-hmm. And you can join us in thanking Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Big thanks to Gwen.
Yeah. Before we go, I wanted to say, just because we didn't get a chance to talk about it in the episode, isn't Radar Love a good song?
Radar Love's pretty good.
Radar Love is, yeah, like, of the stuff on the soundtrack, Radar Love is like a banger.
It is the best of those songs.
Yeah.
Really iconic beginning, big catchy mm-hmm. chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Significantly better than Bad to the Bone mm-hmm. or the Peter Gunn theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the songs are not very good.
No.
I love the thing on Wikipedia where it's like, we tried to get a ZZ Top song, but it was too expensive. So we went with somebody who licensed songs cheaply.
I love where you can start like assigning a rank on that. Yeah. Just like, okay, so all of these people, Deep Purple is cheaper than ZZ
Top. Is less than ZZ Top. Yeah, there's a conversion chart in the back of the manual.
Mm-hmm. But until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, where we're cheaper than Cameo. I hope you have a great birthday, Casey.